our Bible story today is about when the disciples were arguing over who was the best. So we're going to watch that now.
The friend of little children. Jesus' friends were arguing. Who was the most important helper in God's kingdom? They wanted to know. I am, James said. No, you're not, said Peter. I am. Nonsense, Matthew said. I'm the cleverest. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Yes, no, I am. This silliness went on and on like that for some time. You see, Jesus' friends had started thinking they had to do something to make themselves special to Jesus, that if they were the cleverest or the nicest or something, Jesus would like them best. But they had forgotten something, something God had been teaching his people all through the years, that no matter how clever you are, or how good you are, or how rich you are, or how nice you are, or how important you are, none of it makes any difference. Because God's love is a gift. And as anyone will tell you, the whole thing about a gift is it's free. All you have to do is reach out your hands and take it. So while Jesus' friends were arguing, some people who knew all about getting gifts, in fact, you might say they were gift experts, had come to see Jesus. Who were they? They were little children. Jesus' helpers tried to send them away. Jesus doesn't have time for you, they said. He's too tired. But they were wrong. Jesus always had time for children. Don't ever send them away, Jesus said. Bring the little ones to me. Now, if you had been there, what do you think? Would you have had to line up quietly to see Jesus? Do you think Jesus would have asked you how good you'd been before he'd give you a hug? Would you have had to be on your best behavior and get dressed up and not speak until you're spoken to? Or would you have done just what these children did? Run straight up to Jesus and let him pick you up in his arms and swing you and kiss you and hug you and then sit you on his lap and listen to your stories and your chats. You see, children loved Jesus and they knew they didn't need to do anything special for Jesus to love them. All they needed to do was to run into his arms. And so that's just what they did. Well, after all the laughing and games, Jesus turned to his helpers and said, no matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you lose your child's heart, full of trust in God. Be like these children. They are the most important in my kingdom.
So that Bible story is based on Matthew 18, 1 to 5. So we're just going to read that now. And it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, who takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. We know when the Bible records Jesus saying something once, it's important. When it's in there twice, it's really important. Well, the moment that Jesus welcomes the children is recorded not once, not twice, not three times, but four times over three Gospels. And this means we should definitely be listening. And generally, all the Gospels say the same thing. Welcome the children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And whoever welcomes a child shows a bit of God's heart. His heart for what society felt was the least important, but he saw as the most important. So, how do you, if you're a child, reflect God's heart? Now, I don't think it's because you are always quiet. meek, entirely good all the time. The children I know and love are feisty, quick, fierce, generous, selfish, curious, bored, quiet, loud, challenging, funny, surprising, and exhausting. And I think Jesus knew this too about children when he described children as reflecting God's heart. So why did Jesus use this example? And we're going to get back into our bring me teams and share any ideas about why do you think Jesus used children as an example of God's kingdom, of revealing a bit of God's heart. So just 1 minute. And if you're a child, yeah, why do you reflect God's kingdom? What was Jesus saying? Back in your bring me teams. Okay, we're going to just having a quick time there. Has anyone got anything they would like to share? Why do you think Jesus, says the kingdom of God is like a child, kingdom of heaven is like a child? Anyone, any ideas, want to share with us all? I feel people did say things. Tom?
I think they're a lot more accepting of things. They don't have the baggage that older people do.
Yep, lovely. Anything else? Anyone else? Don't have any doubts. Yeah, brilliant. Really?
I mean, adults worry a lot about other things like money and jobs, whereas children don't have to worry about that yet, so they can spend more time thinking about God.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. So Ed was saying something then too. Okay, brilliant. I'm sure you've said these in your groups too, but I've got some ideas of some things I've been thinking about. So, wonder and imagination. God is a creative and imaginative God. And I think children are great at using their imaginations and their senses and have a great ability to wonder. When you see a child explore something new for the first time, you can see the curiosity in their eyes. And they use all their senses to unlock the new experience, don't they? They look at the little spider web. They smell the bark. They touch the snail. They hear the sound of a helicopter from a mile away. And they maybe, if your children are like my children, try and taste absolutely everything. They're really curious. They also have a love of storytelling. I love it when a child hears a Bible story for the first time and they don't know how it's going to end. They are completely gripped and they're invested in the story. So I wonder how we can keep for us, if we're grown-ups, this childlike wonder going as we grow up. Keep that curiosity, that wonder, and that imagination. The next one is that God has given us questioning minds. Children love asking questions, big questions, and they keep on asking. Children aren't worried about asking questions. They want to and they need to know. And it's okay for us not to have all the answers. Rachel Turner, who is from Parenting for Faith, suggests that tough questions can be answered step by step. I'm going to just keep on the stage for a minute or two. If you want me to share this with you later, I can. It's really helpful in knowing how to answer those tricky questions that we might have. I can share that with you. It's okay for us all to ask challenging questions, to learn and to grow, and children keep on asking those questions. Challenge the grown-ups. And finally, God has enough for each of us and more. God is generous. He gives to all of us. Young children expect there's enough to go around. And this is my moment where I'm going to bring out the chocolate eggs. Do you know what? I was going to say just the children, but I'm going to be generous. I think we've got enough for all of us to have a chocolate egg at this point. But young children expect there's enough for them. There would always be enough chocolate eggs for them. There's also enough time, enough hugs, enough attention, enough love. Now, the disciples in this week's story struggle with the idea that everything is available to them. They feel they have to be first. They have to be top dog. They have to be number one. And in response, Jesus points them to the trust of a young child, and as if to say, stop racing, stop competing, stop scrambling. There is enough. I am enough. The special thing you talked about today, or special person, Jesus says, You are more important to him than that is to you, and he loves you so much. He's got enough. Oh, I got so excited then, I forgot to click the things. Oh yeah, and that's my picture of God being generous. So, welcome the children. What did Jesus do when he saw the children? In those days, the least important in society, he reached out and welcomed them, and he put them right in the middle. He prayed for them and he blessed them. And we are so blessed to have so many kids and young people at Highgrove Church, being church all together. It's a joy when we all come together to laugh and chat, to get to know each other, to know who's got the jazziest socks. It's lovely when adults are praying for children and when the children are praying for the adults, when everyone is worshipping together. In a recent study, you might have heard, it was on the news, the Lost Boys report by the Centre for Social Justice discovered that teenage boys are more likely to have a smartphone than a dad in their life. As a church family, we have the opportunity to be like mothers and fathers and grandparents and those cool aunties and uncles and brothers and sisters as well, to really be a big family of God together, through getting to know each other really well, through things like mentoring and supporting and giving and receiving care. Inside of church, yes, but outside too, going into our local schools to read, for example, and supporting local outreach projects. And if we create a culture like this at church, it becomes so attractive to other people too. In the Talking Toddlers research, it says that 60% of adult Christians say they came to faith below the age of 5. Our welcome of let the little children come to me, come to us, and their families too, is crucial. So it's a massive shout out to the work of Sparklers, of Soul Space, and the Little Acorns team who welcome in families every week. For some of our Little Acorns and Soul Space families, this is the only connection that they have with church, and love and care given by those teams is beautiful. If you want to see God's heart, do we have enough chocolate eggs?
Yes.
Ooh, we may not for the second service. If you, shh, we won't know, they're not watching. If you want to see God's heart, be where the children are, or support those who are. You will be blessed and you will also be a blessing. And if you are a child, a kid, a preteen, a teenager, know that you are really, really welcome indeed. Make yourself at home. Ask tricky questions. Play, learn, wonder, love, and serve, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. As we read in the story today, no matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you love your child's heart, that you lose your child's heart. Full of trust in God, be like these children. Welcome the children. So today, during coffee time, there'll be an opportunity for us to get to know each other a little bit more. We've got some people bingo cards out in the foyer. And I think some of you know how to do this already. It's got different categories, and you write down, you go and find someone, you get them to write their name in the different categories. I'm going to see who can do it. This isn't just for the kids. It's for all of us to get to know each other better. We also today have gifts to all the women, for the women at church today, to say a really big thank you for being part of our church family. We want to bless you today. So I think we've got time to do the next thing too. We're going to spend some time now praying for children around the world. All children reflect the kingdom of God, and yet in some cultures, children are socially invisible. In others, they're legally unprotected. In all cultures, children are at the mercy of those who are older, bigger, stronger than they are. We're going to pray together about that now. And we're going to do this in small groups, the same small groups again. You can pray out loud or quietly. And I just put some categories on the screen of some different things you might like to pray about in your group. We'll just do this for a couple of minutes and I'll draw us together afterwards. Lord Jesus, thank you that all children reflect your kingdom. Thank you that you welcome the children. You put them right in the heart of everything. Thank you, Lord. And thank you that we as church family can be that family to children. Thank you that we can be like mothers and fathers, like grandparents, like brothers and sisters. So I just pray, yeah, lift up children around the world who need your love, your care, and your support right now, your safety. Amen. Amen. There's a poem that the lovely Rachel Noyce wrote that I'm just going to read, and then we're going to go into a time of worship to finish. So it's called Small Time. The children came to Jesus one ordinary day. The disciples stopped them sternly. You're getting in the way. Jesus is very busy. He has important things to do. You're just kids. You're small time. He isn't here for you. Now, at this moment, Jesus calmly stepped into the fray. Let the children come to me and don't get in their way. For the kingdom is for such as these. And friends, these words are true. God has all the time for the small time, and that's why we do too.